Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
Michael Lombardi joins us.
The reason you're running the ball so well is because Fields is in the game, and you're forced to run the ball. If Dalton was in the game, you probably would be trying to run sticks and spacing and doing all the things that the West Coast wants to do, but it doesn't really help your team become powerful. And so I think that his presence has allowed the running game to really help and shine and keep the score to where it's manageable. You know, you go into Las Vegas and you go out there and win that game because you're able to keep the score manageable for yourself.
That's Michael Lombardi. And I like the idea that if the question was to him, how would he feel about Andy Dalton being the starter? Could they have won that game without Fields being the starter? And the answer is, well, Fields, because of the limitations, because of the way you have to use him, you run the ball more, and that makes you a tougher, more physical team. And you're in more games as a result of that than what we would have seen from Matt Nagy in the whole offensive circus if you had Fields or Dalton.
I find that fascinating. I don't think I thought of it that way. Don't we think of Andy Dalton, the consummate game manager, the guy that would be stabilizing and conservative in the Bears' approach?
But you're not going to be running the ball because you're going to have a different offensive play caller.
Because you're going to think you can do it all.
Yeah,
you can think you can do these fancy, you know, pick rub plays and short passing game. And
you do a lot of diamond formation where you flip the ball to the tight end.
Yeah, and then let's throw in a shovel pass for good measure.
Yeah.
Now, with Justin Fields, you're not going to be tempted.
No.
So you're almost saving the Bears from Matt Nagy by giving them Justin Fields.
That's an indictment on Nagy.
Well, it kind of is.
I'm just saying.
Kind of is.
That's exactly what the truth of the matter is.
But we have seen that work
yes.
in terms of the identity that the Bears embraced after the Raiders' victory. That's who they wanted to be going into the Packers game. You pick your spots with the passing game. You use the run to set up play action. And you have your quarterback that can make something out of nothing if everything breaks down. That's what they have to do against the Bucs.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is a glorious Thursday in the fine city of Chicago. First win of the season for the Blackhawks coming tonight. First win of the season for the Bulls over with. And who knows? Maybe the Bears go down and shock the world.
Morning, Mully. Happy Thursday. Victory Thursday. Sounds like you are
getting carried away. Let's not get carried away.
I mean,
the Bulls did win. I heard Dustin say it, Bulls win, Bulls win, Bulls win. So I do understand. I did watch the game, and the Bulls did win. Surely the Blackhawks can win a game. This is probably their best shot up to this point. It might be their best shot for like another week, but here you go. You got to win a game. I'm not sure about the Bears. I'm not sure about going down to Tampa and beating Tom Terrific, but stranger things have happened, David.
Yeah, let's lead with the big story last night. The Bulls win and they start the season on the right foot after a very difficult first quarter. We'll get to the Blackhawks. I think tonight, you're right, is the best chance yet they have to get in the win column, and the Bears, we'll talk about them enough. The Bulls, though, that was rough in the first quarter. I think that 14 points in the first quarter made you think, oh, boy, this really is the season opener. And, boy, they really are a team with three new starters and all those new players because it looks like they're getting to know each other on the court. And then things settle down, typical season opener, and they come out and they beat a team they should have beaten.
Yeah, no question they needed to win that game. They should have won that game, and they did win the game. It just took them maybe a lot longer than we imagined it was to get to that point. It did seem, and maybe this is just an overreaction from something I already know, but it did seem like they're not the biggest team in the world, right? They could use a little more size. There were a couple mouse-in-the-house plays with Caruso trying to guard a guy that's, a seven-footer, and Kelly Olynyk, not a great player, mind you, but a tall guy that can knock down a jumper. And it did seem like the Bulls were a little undersized, and they are a little undersized. But what the issue was, when they got out into the floor, when they started being able to get into transition basketball, they weren't finishing. They didn't finish enough early, and they did that late. And the finisher was obviously Zach LaVine, who knocked down the free throws that were needed in order to win the game. So they got the win. It looked a lot easier on paper when all was said and done.
Yeah.
But if you had gambled on that game, David, that was a tough one.
It was a tenth one down the stretch. Yeah, six-point victory, 94-88. To your point, they are going to struggle with interior defense just because they don't have that kind of team, and the guys who are their bigs aren't great defenders. But you were reminded just how the Bulls' approach will be different this year down the stretch. The last possession, when the Pistons still had a chance, maybe, in the NBA it's crazy, but they had the Bulls on the floor, Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Caruso, and Patrick Williams. Tallest guy, 6'7". That's not very big. You're not going to defend many people for very long with that group, and yet that's the way Billy Donovan went down the stretch for that possession, because they did they felt like that was their best defensive team, and that's hard to win consistently that way. But this is a new roster, so they're kind of finding different ways, different approaches, and it's going to take some time before they figure it out. But the defense was ahead of the offense, no doubt about that.
5.5 was the spread, okay, at Bet Rivers last night, and the Bulls end up winning 94-88, so they won by 6. But it was the end of the game. If you were a gambler, I think it was the last 8 seconds. It looks like Detroit has scored, and the refs wave it off, and you go from winner to loser to winner again in 8 seconds. And I had a friend who texted me and said it was the hardest he's ever worked for $25.
Well, I think even a couple people covering the game initially, because of the way it ended, they tweeted out the score, 94-90 Bulls. And then they waved off the final basket, and it was a 6-point margin. And, these things matter for people who have investments and invested interests. So, but, Molly, I think in the first quarter, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't need to check my text exactly, but I think something to the effect I texted, I want to revise my prediction. They're missing too many layups. This team looks too familiar to me. Boy, that was ugly.
It was ugly. You did say you were going to. I thought that was very funny. But honestly, I know this is an idiot's comment, but I thought they were going to win the game. They took the lead in the third quarter. There was a sequence where Zach LaVine, he got fouled on the break, and it was ruled that the Bulls get possession again because he was his right shoulder, his left shoulder, the official explained it was actually ahead of the play. So he knocks down the free throws, and I'll tell you what, he was 11 of 11 from the line. Those were really important points that he knocked down at the free throw line. So congratulations to him, and he had a good game. He scored a lot of points. The Bulls get the ball. They get two possessions, knock down the free throws, close it to one, and at one point They took over the lead, and then it was back and forth after that. There were a ton of lead changes in that game. But once they kind of popped their heads up, and they led after 71-69, I really thought that it was just a question of closing it out, of winning the game. And, you know, I'm not sure they do that a year ago. I'm not sure they are good enough. I thought DeMar DeRozan had some really big moments. I was a little disappointed in Lonzo Ball. He, the Bulls haven't had a point guard in forever. And to see him, there were just a hair too many turnovers. If that's not from him necessarily, but from the team. And I thought he would control pace a little bit better. He did okay for himself. And, you know, Nikola Vukovic is always going to get his, and he got his. But it was Zach LaVine. I mean, it really was the 34 points that he scored, all the free throws he knocked down. He hit an incredibly difficult shot where he was coming across, flashing across the basket and used glass. That was a really big moment in that game.
Well, he was efficient, and I think that's the thing, too. He was efficient. He played defense, and he showed the growth from one season to the next. He had a big summer, and it showed last night. 11 for 17. He did hit all 11 free throws. I know what you're saying about Lonzo Ball. I don't think that, you know, this is in the NBA such a long season. One game, it just, thought what came through more than anything was this is a group that is learning how to play together. And then when things got a little tough, they turned to their leader. This is still Zach LaVine's team, and that came through as much as anything. And they're deeper, I believe. They have a real smart team, I think, and they're going to mesh eventually, gradually. That chemistry is a work in progress. That's why I thought it was encouraging defensively, which I think is also part chemistry, but also part just commitment. And defensively, they were very good against a Pistons team that, let's face it, just isn't. they don't have a lot of depth.
Yeah.
They don't have as much talent. They were playing without their big rookie Cunningham. And I think that showed down the stretch when the Bulls really, you know, they turned to Zach LaVine and he carried them.
Yeah, it wasn't a great win, but they covered on the road. So in NBA parlance, that's a pretty good win. I mean, it's just by the hair of their chinny chin chin, but that is a pretty good win, and it's a good way to start.
I think one of the surprises was Ayo Dosunmu playing 11 minutes, hitting a three.
Big minutes. And fourth quarter minutes.
Yeah. They were relying on him in the rookie's first NBA game. And a guy that I don't think either one of us expected to maybe play, you know, a contributing role this early. And there he was, because Billy Donovan says he practices well. He's fearless there. And I think that he was rewarded for that. They had a little bit of an injury or illness last night that may have contributed, but he came through. He needed that three, though, when he hit it. I think he was beginning to struggle, didn't he?
I said that to you. I said, man, he needed that. Because had he not missed a three and then I don't know. I mean, yeah, he needed that three. It was a big moment for him, and he got a couple buckets, and he brought great energy, and I was really hopeful for him. Good performance, big minutes, and he came through.
I think even Brett Bielema was impressed.
Oh, God. I thought we had decided he was never impressed. The Bears – it was just another weird day for the Bears, okay?
Oh,
it's just another weird day. I mean, if it's Thursday, then, if it's Wednesday in Chicago, then some defensive back has to take down a social media post.
Oh, God.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. Just stupid.
I told you.
Crazy.
They got their offensive coordinator. They got their defensive coordinator. They need a social media coordinator.
They do.
They do.
Come on,
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson is not a highly paid player, and he's playing well. And apparently he was supposed to be in the building by 8:15 on Monday or Tuesday, whatever day it was. And he claimed he got fined, whatever it was, $2,750 because he was late to the building. And he said the clock ticked 8:16 as he was walking in the door. Presumably he was supposed to be there at 8:15. So by one tick of the clock, he was deemed a minute late, and he gets this fine and a letter from Matt Nagy. So he goes to the gram, he goes to Instagram, and he posts it along with a comment about, can you believe this blank that they decide to fine me over a minute? Maybe the money means a lot to him. Maybe he's not, kind of bringing in the dough like others are. But my goodness, that
Molly.
Was the worst part about it, David. It was news to Matt Nagy. He didn't know he had posted the letter.
That was the most amusing part of it, and or maybe concerning part of it, because he was asked and he was blindsided at the press conference. But let's do the math. Jalen Johnson makes $1.6 million as a second-round draft pick, second-year player. He's fined $2,745. Somebody who's making $80,000 a year, that's the equivalent of a $131 fine. That's a speeding ticket, okay? I understand why he would be upset maybe at 1 minute late. But if you're upset about being 1 minute late, be 10 minutes early.
That's the answer.
And if you're upset about it, take it up with the union, or take it up with your position coach, your coordinator, or whoever. Don't go to Instagram. Come on.
And somebody ought to fill in Matt Nagy, because he learned about it from the media at the podium. Let's take a listen. Matt,
Jalen Johnson posted a picture of the fine you gave him. Is this not like a bigger issue than the fine itself?
That's news to me, but at the same point in time, I'll be able to talk to him and see, what that's all about. But Jalen's been he's been doing great. And, again, for what it is and where we're at, I'll be able to discuss it with him.
Oh, I'll bet you're able to discuss it. And as I said, he took down the post, but it had already been retweeted multiple times.
He took down the post. Eddie Jackson must have told him it was okay to post that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
But the fact that Matt Nagy was caught off guard, Jalen Johnson not only just gets himself in hot water, but probably somebody in the PR office whose job it is to inform the head coach about everything on social media before he goes to talk to reporters. Because that's got to be somebody's job that they didn't do.
Matt Nagy taking a lot of hits. Let's put it that way. He's really – you think about the season he's had, man, he's heard it from everywhere. And now he finds a guy which the player clearly found unfair, and so he posts the letter of the fine, which was kind of amusing to read. And goodness gracious, the guy had no idea that had happened.
We're poking fun at it, and it is fun because it's easy. But know what? Big picture, Mully, the Bears like to talk all the time about their culture, and they embrace it, and they promote it, and they talk about it being one of the biggest assets of their organization. Not a good year for their culture.
No.
Really?
Not a good year for their culture. No way around it. I mean, starting with players refusing to take part in the voluntary portion of the offseason program. And, David, they don't just brag about their culture. They claim that they're the envy of other teams in the league. So,
and as you pointed out yesterday, you have to wonder about the COVID outbreak and how much, if the coach and the general manager are reluctant to want to encourage players or even mandate players indirectly to get their vaccination and to get those shots. What does that say when you have players who are unwilling to do that or maybe reluctant to do that? So, yeah, I think you can't brag about something and then have these many issues crop up.
Yeah, brag about it all you want. It's just it's nothing worth bragging about, just so you know, okay? For future reference, nobody envious of your culture right now. And I got a feeling no one's going to envy it Sunday afternoon either. We'll be right back. We got the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mullion Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was your biggest takeaway from the Bulls season opener against the Pistons? Who made the best first impression?
Yeah, you know, I think that my biggest takeaway is that they're still Zach LaVine's team. That he's going to be the guy that is the go-to player, and he's going to be the guy that knocks down the big shots and knocks down the free throws when it matters. So I think that I really liked DeMar DeRozan and the way he played. I think of all the players in their first game, that he's smooth, he's a scorer, he picks his spot, he doesn't need to have the ball at all times. And he's a, you know, experienced player. I was really impressed overall with his game. I thought Lonzo Ball, I think he's going to be really good, and they haven't had a point guard in a long time. We know that. But I didn't feel like he was the guy in control of the game. I thought they were sharing the ball pretty well. They're obviously an advanced offensive team, but I thought DeMar DeRozan, it was the little moments in which he scored a bucket, the little things that he was doing. He just was really solid and a total pro and a great guy to have on the team. So I really did think that was a little special to see the way that he went about it. I was impressed with his game. I liked the smoothness of his game.
He certainly carries himself like a guy who has been there before and will be able to carry you at times when Zach LaVine may not be feeling it. Yeah, the Rosen's a good one. Overall, though, I think we both were mostly impressed with Zach LaVine kind of reminding people, a lot of changes going on, 13 new players, 3 new starters, still my team, and you know what? I'm better. I'm better this year. I'm more complete as a player. I just have that sense of command and confidence himself because of the Olympic experience, because of whatever it is. Maybe the contract year, that's going to get a lot of conversation. But Zach LaVine at both ends is a more complete player than the guy we last saw in a Bulls uniform, and I think that's a good encouraging sign. As for the new guys, yeah, you're right about Ball. He wasn't really as smooth as we maybe as he will be, or as maybe we expected to see. Defensively, I felt like he was still a pretty good, important piece there. And I think Alex Caruso, he came in off the bench, hit a 3, didn't shoot terribly well, but that combination down the stretch with Caruso and Lonzo Ball defensively made an impression. And I wonder, I guess, at the end of this game, and as we talk here this morning, I didn't think that coming out of the Bulls opener, I'd be most impressed with their defense. And I think that says a lot about the way that they wanted it to be. This is by design. Their defense should be improved, and it was. In it's only one game, but that was the biggest takeaway, and I didn't realize this either. They're 1-0, and it's the first time since March 3rd, 2017, that they're above 500. So that's a long time.
Wow.
So enjoy. That's a long time. Think about that. But it was a welcome victory, and good for the Bulls.
That's a wild stat that you just shared, David. That's crazy that's been that long. It's also been a long time since I watched every single second of a Bulls game. And I was actually excited. My daughter was texting me as she was getting out of school. Do the Bulls start tonight? What time? Are they playing at home? Who are they playing? Who's the good player on that team? So she was actually really interested in that game. So we actually watched some of it together. She kind of gave up at around halftime. She wasn't thrilled with what she was watching. But I did watch every single second of that game, and it's been probably maybe since then, since I've watched every single second of a Chicago Bulls game. And I thought Zach LaVine encapsulated it very well. This ain't last year. And last year's team would not have won that game. Now, the roster's been turned over. Zach has grown as a player. The ball was not in Zach's hand every time up and down the court, right? He's playing off the ball instead of with the ball. And that will take some time. And David, great point. Defense. That was everybody, every national talking head talking basketball. Bulls issue is defense. Now, Mully, you brought it up in the first segment, and you're absolutely right. Size. And that's why I think that the Pistons were able to stay in that game. So we have to be careful. We have to watch. The Pistons are a long, lean, athletic team. They are above average height at every position across their starting five, and the reserves are long and lean, and that's going to be a matchup problem potentially. So we'll have to wait and see. But I'm going to enjoy it. I thought Chuck was great too. The highlights that I heard his pregame, his enthusiasm for it. So whether you're watching it on TV, listening to it right here on the Score, the Bulls are much more entertaining than they've been in quite some time.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes, and here is what's happening. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. That is an ode to our guy, Chuck Swirsky. Zach LaVine, 34 points in that one. Io DeSumo played some good minutes off the bench. DeRozan, 17. Vucevic, 15. It was a good game overall. The Bulls are 1-0, and they will now host the Pelicans on Friday. You can hear that game right here on the Score. The Bears are continuing to work out on the grass, getting ready for Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers and Tom Brady and everybody. But Akeem Hicks missed practice. Grant missed practice. Robinson missed practice. Mack missed practice. Mully's guy, the tight end, he got another day off because he must be pooped from all those snaps he takes. Darnell Mooney was limited with a groin. The Bucs are favored by 12.5. The total in this one is 47.5. NFL Week 7 gets underway right here on the Score. 7 o'clock, the start time. Broncos are at the Browns. There's no Baker Mayfield for the Browns. He's got a shoulder injury, so Case Keenum starts. The Browns are also down to their third-string running back. Believe it or not, Browns are still a 1.5-point favorite. According to John McClain on Twitter, the Texans and Dolphins could have a deal done for Deshaun Watson by the end of this week. ALCS Game 5, all Astros. They head back to Houston with a 3-2 lead over the Red Sox following a 9-1 win. And they can clinch the pennant for the third time in 5 years with a victory in Game 6 on Friday. Braves, one win away from the World Series as well after a 9-2 win over the Dodgers. They can clinch the pennant tonight in Los Angeles. Their ace, Max Fried, is throwing. Blackhawks started the season 0-3-1. They host the Canucks, who are 1-2-1 tonight over at the United Center. Join the Cats at Ryan Field. They've got matchups with Minnesota and Iowa. You can buy tickets at NUSports.com.
It's definitely a valid question by you.
Which was worse, Jalen Johnson posting on Instagram a letter from the Bears fining him for being 1 minute late, or Matt Nagy not being aware of the situation when asked at his presser a couple of hours later?
Well, that's news to me.
On the heels of the Eddie Jackson Twitter flap, what does this say about the Bears' culture?
Matt Nagy's reaction is definitely more amusing and reveals maybe some flaws in the mechanics of the PR operation, which has been a problem all year long. Jalen Johnson's response, though, is more troubling because it fits a pattern. Again, the social media coordination of the Bears needs some work. They need to tell these guys what damage they do to the idea of culture and to their culture in general when they do stuff like this. You come off as a whiner. You just do. I'm not going to go into my, you know, mantra, early's on time, on time's late, and late's forgotten. That's for the coaches to do. But if you're Jalen Johnson, you were late. I know it's harsh, but if you feel no fear of reprisal or repercussion by going public with your complaints, that speaks to a culture that doesn't have maybe accountability, or that doesn't really respect the top of the food chain in the football coach, because we've seen it with Eddie Jackson now. We saw it with Jimmy Graham with the silly, you know, liking a tweet that pointed out how about their offensive futility. You've got guys that don't mind going public with to air their grievances when this stuff should be handled internally. And in a healthy culture, in a football culture, they would be. Just tells me the Bears have issues with this culture that they want to brag about, because it's not worth bragging about.
Yeah, spot on, David. Spot on, you know, touch them all. That is absolutely correct. And I think that when you just look at those instances of Jimmy Graham retweeting that thing, of the corner worried about what Lance Briggs said about him, and now, you know, I don't know, was that a request for, are we supposed to start some sort of a pass
GoFundMe
to get to, yeah, start a GoFundMe in order to get the 2,745, whatever it was, to get that paid off for the guy. It's just a bad look. And frankly, you know, the coach, I don't know. I mean, sending the guy a letter, maybe you should tell him, hey, here's what happened. Call him in, you know, speak to him face to face. That might be a way of avoiding. Then you hear out his complaint, and then you tell him, pay the money. I don't know. It just, you know, Matt Nagy is Mr. Nice Guy, and he doesn't want to do anything wrong, but he'll send a form letter to tell you that you're late and you owe him some money. Just goofy. Just the whole thing came across as kind of, you know, a lack of discipline, and maybe the lack of face-to-face explains the lack of discipline. I don't know. But, and then even when he, you know, oh, yeah, he's fine. What happened? Oh, I'll have a talk with him. You know, he's playing great. Like, really? I mean, come on, man. It just rings hollow. A lot of what they're saying rings hollow. They're having a bad year. The PR department might be having a worse year than the play caller, the former play caller. It's you just can't have things creep up on you. You got to have people that know what the hell's going on and can inform you as to what is going to be asked of you before you hit the podium.
Well, Jalen Johnson putting it out there on the gram is far and away the worst part of the situation. He started it. I mean, this is what came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, he first was late, and then the Bears fined him, and then he put that on Instagram. What I wasn't able to see based on the picture is who signed the letter. George, Ted, Pace. There was one signature that it looked like was on that fine. So who was it that fined him? Now, I believe Nagy should have been aware that the letter had been sent. If he wasn't aware the letter had been sent, that's a whole nother. I don't blame Nagy. I don't even honestly blame PR for not knowing about the Instagram post had got. I want Matt Nagy worrying about chunk plays. I want Matt Nagy worrying about how he's going to get the ball downfield. I want Matt Nagy worrying about talking to Sean Desai about some ways to confuse offenses when half of their defensive line might not be playing down in Tampa Bay or Tampa Bay. That's what I want my head coach worrying about, not what guys are doing on Instagram when they're. But again, nobody who, you know, I get ticked off. You know, we leave really early in the morning. I park my car in the street sometimes. You know, I get a $30 ticket. I that ticks me off. Ruins my day. I get it. It doesn't matter how much money you make or how much money you don't have. You know, nobody wants to get a fine for something asinine like that. Is Elmhurst a safer place because the dead end street I live on, my car wasn't up against the curb at 3:01 a.m.? I mean, give me a break. So I get the frustration that Jalen is feeling, but I don't take it to the gram.
Would you go to the social media to complain about it, Dustin? No.
But I will write a little message on my check in the memo area when I do perhaps pay the fine.
To answer your question, Matt Nagy is the one who signed the letter. His chicken scratch and then below it is his name in typed letters.
I mean, it almost came off like he didn't even know that the fine existed. That was what would be worse.
Dustin, to answer your question, I understand that Matt Nagy shouldn't be the guy checking social media feeds. But someone has to protect him. Someone has to help him get through that, and he needs to be made aware. In every organization, you need to let the leader be aware before he goes out. There's been too many surprise questions, Dustin.
But what
someone
about his tardiness constantly? What about Matt Nagy's
tardiness? Well, there you go. Did he find himself because he was 38 minutes late to a press conference?
Well,
non-stop every day. Because he's almost late every single day to the press conference.
You set an example by your actions and not just your words on a packet in a rule book. You've got to lead by example. And for a coach that is routinely late, players might be thinking, oh, yeah, what's a minute here or there? So maybe that's it.
That's a great question, David.
Do you agree with the coaches telling Stacey Dales that the Bears are one of the top three defenses, along with the Saints and Rams, or even as good as any defense in the NFL? How good is this defense, or will injury and illness fell it against the Bucs?
Oh, you know, thus fell the defense. The defense is really good, and then you look at the practice list, and you got your three best defensive linemen unable to practice, and your three veteran defensive linemen. You know, Khalil Mack will play out of that group, but it looks like Robert Quinn is not going to be able to play because of illness, because he's on the COVID-19 reserve list. We won't know that until Saturday, so I think if the guy's on the plane, you'll have an idea of whether he's playing or not. I don't know how you put together a game plan. I mean, they probably know. But as far as Damian Williams and Robert Quinn are concerned, we won't know if they're capable of playing until Saturday. And I think that we're probably leaning toward no. So that's not good. That is not good at all. Akeem did not. He got hurt, left the game, and he didn't look like he could come back in. We know Khalil Mack isn't able to practice, but is always ready to play, and I suspect he'll be ready to play as well. So it's a damaging reality that that you have these injuries, and I don't see how they're going to be the same defense if they are down two of their best three defensive players. It's just not going to be a happy, pretty sight. And you know, you can say, well, Jalen Johnson is one of those players. Well, Roquan Smith is one of those players. You need them all, especially against the team that scores in the fashion Tampa does.
Let's just hope Jalen Johnson's not a step late trying to cover Mike Evans.
Oh, boy.
I think it's a good question, and I think it's an interesting point that Stacey Dales was making in a couple different answers, because Stacey's a tremendous addition because she brings a perspective of people she talks to around the league and their perception of the Bears. And Bruce Arians watches the tape and he sees, you know, a top five, top 10 defense. And I think the numbers support that, what they've put on tape. You know, the Bears are eighth in scoring. They're eighth in pass defense. They're seventh overall. They're a top 10 defense for the bulk of this season statistically. You take out Robert Quinn, certainly it's going to change that equation on Sunday against the Bucs. But Bruce Arians sees a deep front seven, a secondary that is, you know, been playing pretty well despite some really ill-timed missed tackles and some big plays perhaps. But I can see why if you're an offensive coach for the Buccaneers, you're not taking this game lightly because you don't want your game plan to be wrecked by Khalil Mack and company. And that's what I think we're hearing from Bruce Arians. That's respect, and I think that he's smart enough of a head coach, and we have seen that he doesn't disrespect anybody until after the game. But going into the game, he's a guy that is not going to take this defense lightly, and I think they have earned that kind of respect with Sean Desai this year. So tall order without Robert Quinn. You wonder if Akeem Hicks is going to be able to go. I doubt either one of those guys are going to be available, so a tall order just got tougher. 32.5 points a game by the Bucs. That's going to be tough to stop.
I don't agree with this. I think coaches are being nice and they're telling people maybe what they want to potentially hear. I don't believe head coaches and offensive coordinators are staying up at night trying to figure out how to stop this defense. Teams don't need to put out their entire playbook when they play the Bears because the Bears offense can't score. So statistically, it looks pretty good. Why would you empty out the playbook against the Bears when all you basically need to do is get to about 24-23 and you're in a good spot as far as that goes? So no, I'm not buying it. I mean, when everybody's healthy, maybe top 10, but right now I don't think the offenses have to do everything they need to do. And part of that is the offense, the Bears offense's problem, not so much the Bears' defensive problem.
I'm sorry, I have a question for you.
Which Chicago team will be the first to win four games? The 3-3 Bears, who play Sunday at Tampa Bay, or the 1-0 Bulls, who opened their season in Detroit last night?
Ooh, this is a tough question, man. This just reinforces the long month that could be ahead for Bears fans and for the Bears team. It's October 21st, and if you look ahead at the schedule, 1 month from today, the Ravens will be visiting Soldier Field to play the Bears. And the Bears could still be looking for their fourth victory. That maybe is the glass half empty version of this. But Buccaneers, 49ers, Steelers on the road, Ravens. I think the Bulls get their fourth victory, and it could come as early as Monday night. I think the Bulls have a much better chance of getting to four before the Bears do, and I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, you know, the Bulls, they got the Pelicans at home on Friday, followed by the Pistons, who they just saw at home on Saturday. And then Monday night's game against the Raptors could be the big turning point for them, the big win, victory, whatever. But then next Thursday they got the Knicks and they got the Jazz next Saturday. They got opportunities is the point. So if they're not a four-win unbeaten team by Monday, they're going to be a four-win team by Friday most likely. And the Bears, what is it now, 12.5? Yeah, I think there's a reason they're not favored. I think that Tom Brady, did you get a little tired of the whole Matt Nagy, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers appreciation class? Come on now. Let's go back to the Instagram. How you feel about that? Just tiresome. I think we know how good Tom Brady is. I think we understand he's actually better than Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers just is obviously, he owns your team and you can't stop him and he beats you out of habit. So Tom owes you one from last year where he was embarrassed. I think the Bulls are the landslide team that's going to get the four wins first.
Well, the Bears aren't going to win this Sunday. I'm not going to preach that that's going to happen. So the Bulls have a much better opportunity. They get more opportunities, get more chances, if you'd like to put it that way, than the Bears do. The Bears only play once a week. But the Bears could potentially beat the 49ers at home a week from Sunday. So I think it could be close. But I think based on what we talked about the Bulls yesterday, I think for our bets to, you know, be trending in the right direction, that we need the Bulls to win four before the Bears win their four.
Oh, boy. Good question.
Congrats to Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Now he's a great quarterback, but I guess he's now a shareholder of the Bears.
That audio courtesy of Let's Go with Tom Brady, Larry Fitzgerald, and Jim Gray on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Did you laugh at the idea of Tom Brady congratulating Aaron Rodgers for becoming a shareholder in the Bears and comparing it to his ownership stake in the Milwaukee Bucks? Or is that joke not so funny anymore? Should Brady be added to the Bears' list of villains, or is that being too soft?
Yeah, that's being too soft. I did laugh. Brady had a huge laugh. He was having so much fun poking fun at Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he even realized that the Bears were a part of it. And then he said he owns Soldier Field later. I mean, it was very, it was good-natured ribbing, I think, from one quarterback to another. Unfortunately, the Bears, he's not, like, intimidated by this week's opponent. He's not worried if he's going to peeve them off while he has his fun with Aaron Rodgers. I said this before. if I know the McCaskey family, they've got to be steaming over this. They've got to be unhappy that their team can't beat the Green Bay Packers to the point where the Packers quarterback still owns the Bears. And everybody making jokes about ownership. That would burn me if I were the guy in charge, if I was the guy with the money behind the scenes. That would burn me pretty hard. I would be pretty upset. And I can't imagine that they find that joke funny anymore. And Brady's not on our list of villains. I just listen to the head coach talk about him. Oh, Tom Brady. Oh, Tom Brady.
Oh, Tom. I wish I had a quarterback like Tom. He could run my offense.
All? Don't we all?
It was amusing. Brady's got a great sense of humor. And look, it is kind of, if you're a McCaskey, you don't like being the butt of these jokes because, you know, Aaron Rodgers owning the Bears. Tom Brady's been a pretty good guy subleasing there because he's, what, 5-1 against the Bears lifetime? So he's no slouch against this team either historically. But he was just having fun. The Bears just happened to be incidentally involved. He was kind of poking fun at his friend. It was a continuation of that golf tournament or that event from the summer, which was really fun to see them go back and forth. Two guys at the top of their game, two of the best ever, you know, publicly, you know, kind of engaged. And that's fun for football fans. But if you're the Bears, you're tired of this. You're tired of hearing about, you know, questions. And Cole Kmet, as good as his answer was about the Tom Brady or the Aaron Rodgers thing yesterday, enough already. They want to move on. Every time you hear about it, you're reminded of what you were unable to do against your bitter rival. And now you're moving ahead. And Tom Brady, like, oh, yeah, it's kind of more of a dismissive thing. So, yeah, enough with the idolatry and everything. You got to go out and sack the quarterback on Sunday. You want to get a little bit of that attitude. So, yeah, enough already.
I don't find it funny even in the slightest, but I don't think it's something that would motivate the Bears defense any more than they should already be motivated. And I am worried about some lingering side effect hangover, if you will, on this Jalon Johnson. The Bears can't afford that. I hope that this young man is not going to have a pity party for himself down in Tampa Bay, or it's going to be a long, long afternoon.
How would he have a carryover? In what way?
That this fine and this Instagram and, you know, blank the Bears and what is this blank and I'm playing well for them and Nagy's always late and blank this and blank that and, you know, take my fine and blank it.
How about he walks up to the line, and instead of facing Mike Evans, he turns around and just crosses his arms. Has his lower lips.
You know what I want him to do?
I mean, it could work the other way, too, right? Everybody's wired differently. I'm just saying I hope that's not the Bears are not in a position to lose this young man mentally. Tampa Bay has three wide receivers that the Bears wish they had. Like, you know, all three of their wide receivers would be a one. No offense, Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
They'd all be a one. Allen Robinson would be a two to them. So, you know, the Bears are already shorthanded covering all three guys. And now you got a guy who might have his nose out of joint.
I want Jalon Johnson to pick off a pass, go to Matt Nagy, tap his wrist like Carlos Correa said, my time.
I can't believe you want that. You only want that from a talk show perspective. That is so not what you want, David. No shot. That is not
Busted.
You.
Busted.
That means you've been around me too long if you want that. There's no way you want that.
Dustin, we got to get to the break.
That's what Ray's doing right now. Hey, Mully.
Yeah.
Hey, Mully.
I know. But, Dustin, why are you saying Ryan Pace has overpaid for the franchise wide receiver? Because there are three guys in Tampa better than the guy he's given all the money to, $18 million plus.
Allen Robinson's feels underappreciated being a top five paid wide receiver in the NFL.
312-644-6767.
Maybe he can loan Jalon Johnson the money for the fine.
What do you think, Mully and Haw? Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.